What time is it?
Pruning time.
It is pruning time. And it's at a good season. Because I've been in this walk for 3 or 4 days. Ushers, you may take your seat. I think I have come to the conclusion that nothing else needs to be taken away from me. But I stop by to tell you, I don't care how long you've been living, how long you've been in the church, you still got some pruning that needs to be done in your life. No matter the fruit that you have produced or no matter the blossoms that's on your tree today, you still got some pruning to be done. Let me tell you a story. There were two gas men working in the city, and they were checking meters and reading meters, and one was a supervisor and the other one was being trained how to do his job. They got down at the beginning of the alley or the street. They parked their vehicle, got out of it, and left it right there. Went down the street both sides, checking meters on both sides of it, going, leaving the truck there. Walked all the way down to the end of the street or the alley or whatever you want to call it. And when they got to the last house, the supervisor told the trainee, who was younger, he said, "You know," said, "I believe that I could outrun you back to the truck." He said, "No," said, "you got too many years behind you. I don't believe you could do that." He said, "Well, let's just try it and see it." Unbeknownst to them, the owner of the house inside, whose meter they had just checked, was standing at the window watching them. Not listening to them, watching them, and she saw them take off running down the aisle away from her house. She got out of her house, started running right in behind them. They didn't know she was running behind them, but they heard her just as they got to the end of the race, and they stopped and said, she was just huffing and puffing. They said, "Why are you running?" She turned around and asked them the same question. Said, "Why are you running?" Said, "You were checking the meter at my house, and what I saw, you started running away from my house." So I said, "If the gas man running, I ought to be running too." So the moral behind that is you need to know why you following Jesus. You need to know why you following Jesus. What time is it? Pruning time. Point number one. Lay aside every weight. Not the weights that you don't like. Every weight. We must lay aside every weight that so easily traps us. Lay aside means to take off, strip off, and remove as taking off clothing. The Christian runner, the believer, must strip off every weight. This means any excess weight or bulk that would hinder or slow you down. all serious athletes train and strain to remove all excess weight. This refers to things that may be legitimate and innocent in and of themselves, but they hinder the Christian runner. And let me stop right there, and if you will, and some things we don't want to get rid of because to us they're not a sin. But they hinder you. They stop you from running the race that you need to run. You need to lay aside. You need to take off some stuff that might be okay to you, but it's hindering your running this race for Christ. When you first take it off, it'll bother you, but keep it off, and everything will be all right. Some legitimate and innocent things that hinder us are seeking entertainment instead of fellowship and communing with God. We want to be entertained. We don't want to worry about the fellowship with God. Tickle my fancy, preacher. Choir sing the song that I love to hear. Don't worry. I'm not worrying about my Christian walk. I want you to entertain me. And let me just stop and say right here, sometimes that happens, and it's good that it happened, because the entertainment will bring you back. To you, they may be entertaining you, but to them, they're putting out the word of God. Sometimes we look at the method that things are done and take the method rather than the fruit that's in the method. You need to take the fruit that's in it. You need to take the fruit that's in it. If you do not, if you just take the entertainment, you'll leave. Because if today between nine my conclusion, I don't step on your foot, I feel like I haven't done my job. I don't want to just step on your toe. I want to get on both of them. Because if I get on yours, I'm off of mine. Because most of the time when you talk about this God, you beat yourself before you do anybody else. We all got some stuff that we need to lay aside. We want entertainment rather than fellowship. True fellowship. Fellowship from the heart. And fellowship is more than eating. It's more than eating. You can fellowship without eating. And eating is a good drawing card to fellowship. But it ought to be more than that. We need to lay aside some stuff. Yeah. And with this season, I'm ready for it. And all of us going to probably do too much of it. Seeking our possession and things of this world instead of God is something that we need to lay aside. Don't worry about so much material stuff. Worry about whether you have God in your heart, in your life. If death were to knock on your door right now, the next time you open your eyes, would you be in the presence of God? If you don't think so, then you need to lay aside some stuff. This possession, all these possessions you're seeking after, when you leave here, you are not going to take them with you. You're going to leave them here. So just try to make things right and lay aside the weights. One thing that hurts a lot of us is listening to music that do not build up the spirit not focus our mind on the truth of God. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's the same notes. The same notes that's played in all of that other stuff that they sing, and it's all on that same keyboard. I can't play it, but I know it's A, B, C, D, E, F, and G. And then it starts off at A again. It's the same notes. Just the way they have intermingled them and the words that they put with them. And that's what we listen to. If I could get my messages in a song and y'all just kept listening to them, y'all would give them back to me. But I don't have no kind of rhythm or anything like that, so you know, you'd be lost on that point if you look for that. You'd be lost on that. And we look at this little box that come in our house that sits over in the corner. We can go from here to New Mexico in the punch of a button. That hurts us too, because we take it all in all the time. Instead of seeking after God, anything that does not build us up or make us stronger is excessive weight. It's excessive weight. And we need to take it off. It slows us down. When you're running, you don't need anything to slow you down. You take off as much stuff as you can so you can run the race. It's pruning time. You need to take off some stuff. Lay aside the weight that does so easily beset us.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Point number two. The Christian believer must prune the sin which does so easily beset him or her. And this is what I thought about. There is a plant, and I don't know what the scientific name of it is, but I know what we call it in Baker. We call it a hitchhiker. Little bitty seeds about, can you see between my fingers? Maybe that big. As you walk by, they just get on you. You might not even be aware of it. I got in some the other day with some clothes I had on, socks and all, and thought I had gotten them all off. After my wife washed the socks, there was one or two still on the sock. That's what those things that so easily beset us. So many of us have gotten so comfortable with our sin that we come in the church and we keep our sin and we think it's all right because I have gotten comfortable with it. These sins easily beset us. They easily stop us from doing what God would have us to do. You got to get it off.
All right,
In the yesterdays when we would get one on us, we used to confine a corn cob or shucks. Y'all know what shucks are? You don't need to know. Shucks are the husks, the things that's around corn or rochinelle. You would take it and rub it on your leg and it would take them off. I'm going somewhere with this and I don't want to lose you here. But here are the shucks and the corn cob. This will take those sins off you that so easily beset you. All you got to do is take this word and rub it where the hitchhikers are, and it will take them off. I'm glad you asked. I heard you. It's right here. You rub it. You rub it. Let this word get in your heart, and it will take all the hitchhikers off. But you have to immerse yourself in this word of God. And we're so comfortable with our sin. long as nobody don't know it but my best friend, it's okay. No, it's not. It's not okay. Sin for the runners or the believers of God are never right. There are consequences for sin when you commit sin when you are a believer. Consequences. God might not, you might do it today and get away with it, you think? But reckoning day is coming. It's coming. Because you got to stand before a just God. And you got to give an account of the deeds that's done in this body. And you telling people that you are a born again believer of Jesus Christ and you sinning, doing whatever you think you're big enough to do, that'll never work for with a just God. Some of us think that because I'm not doing drugs, I'm not committing adultery, and I'm not lost. You all right? No. No. To me, one of the worst things that we can do is cause so discord among the brethren. Sowing discord among the brethren. Shout in church. But soon as we leave church and I get with my favorite friend, we talking about somebody else. I heard a pastor say that there was a member in his church said long as they were at their own church, she'd walk by him and wouldn't even speak to him. But soon as they went to another church, he couldn't turn for her. So she wanted everybody to think that she loved the pastor. He said, I don't know whether she loved me or not. He said, but if she loved me so much, she ought to say something to me in front of people that knew both of us. Don't wait to try to impress strangers. See, that's the way some of us do God. When we're around people that we know, we just act any kind of way we think we ought to act. But when you get around strange people, when you're in church with visitors, you become so holy and righteous. But then when you get an usher board meeting, yeah, uh-huh. No, it doesn't matter. I just call ushers, but you could be in deacon meeting. It don't make no difference. Be one of the biggest hellions that there is in the church. But you want other people to thank you. But the people that you know, this is not right. You these sins beset you. That is called deceit. You should, if anybody, I want to impress or make them, let them know that I'm saved, it's the people that I see every day. The people that show up here with me every Sunday or every Wednesday, those are the people that I want to believe or know that I'm a child of God, because we're working together, we're running this race. You're running, and you're not running by yourself. You need to take the sins that does so easily beset you. And don't you look at anybody else and think you know what their sins are. You better check yourself. Check your own self for your own sin. We need to make sure that we are working for God. Each one of us must ask, what is the sin that traps me? Not you. The sin that traps me. And when you think you got that one licked, then you will have another one crop up somewhere. And we need to keep looking at ourselves. This is why I say that I'm so busy trying to keep me saved and get me saved and do like God wants me to. I don't have time to watch y'all. I'm trying to live my life so God can see himself in me. And when we do that, we don't have time for all this other stuff. What is the sin that consumes all of your energy? What is it that you put your time in that takes you away from God? What is it that keep you from reading your Bible every day? What is it that keep you from having a quiet time with God? What is it? You need to answer that question for yourself and get it out of the way. That's the sin that so easily besets you. And every one of us could blame somebody else. Could blame the house, the cat, the dog, the wife, the husband, the job, anything you want to. But the bottom line, it stops with you. You are the reason that you don't spend quality time with God. We must prune off those favorite sins. And let me say this. Let me say this. If you like, L-I-K-E, your favorite sin, you can't leave it. You have to get to a point where you hate it. If you don't hate your sin, you will continue to be it because it's your friend. You want to be nice to your friends. That's why sometimes, help me, Holy Ghost, you have to, some things that easily beset you are your associates, the people you associate with. Uh-huh. Yeah. They will keep you because they have a greater influence on you than you have on yourself. Nobody wants to be lonesome and be by themselves. You got Jesus, you won't be. You got Jesus, you won't be lonesome. Because he is the best company keeper that you can have. If you got to keep doing wrong to keep your friends, you don't need those people for friends. You don't need them. Get some more. And don't say this, and I'll look at any of you eyeball and tell you. Some church folks. Uh-huh. Yeah, you have to get rid of them until you are strong enough to be around them. Who's that, Paul and John Mark? Split up, went separate ways. Paul and Barnabas. But later on, they got together because they were on the same line. It doesn't mean that one of you are lost and the other one saved. It means that you're not at the same level at that time, so you have to go separate ways.
Amen.
You need to get those sins that easily beset you. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. That's talking about fleshly stuff. And sometimes that's your friends. You can get rid of them. Abstain from them. Get away from them. Doesn't mean you don't like them. But right now, with where I am in my life, you just don't fit in. You just don't fit in. Yeah, I still love you, but you just don't fit in. Because I'm trying to get rid of those things that easily beset me. I've said this before, and it's the truth. That's why I can stand up and look at you and say it. There were times in my life when I would not ride north, east, or west on Martin Luther. Then it was Chestnut. Because all of my friends were still up there. At the bars and the cafes up the street. If I wanted to go down to Tommy Lewis's house, I'd go all the way around. Wouldn't come down what's Martin Luther now, which is the street right out there. Then. Because if I ride through, they'd holler and I'd stop. Now I ride through. If they were still there, before they all closed up, I'd ride through with nobody holler at me. Because I was strong enough then in the word to stay away from it. You have to know what you need to shed and get rid of. Anytime you take something out of your life that you have grown accustomed to, you're going to miss it. You're going to miss it. And you have to go through that time of missing it. And it's the same way with people. Point number three. We must run with patience. The word patience means endurance, steadfastness. Patience is not a passive word. It's an active word. It's not the spirit of just sitting back and putting up with trials of life, taking whatever may come. Rather, it's the spirit that stands up, faces the trials of life, that actively goes about conquering and overcoming the problem or the circumstances that you're in. When trials confront a man or woman who is truly justified, he or she is stirred to arise and face the trials head on. Don't go around it. Don't dodge it. You go straight at it. They said when two forces meet each other, if both of them moving, then something's going to happen. But if one's moving and the other one's standing still, the one that's going to get hurt the most is the one that's standing still. So this is why you need to be moving on the situation when it comes in your life. Don't sit there and wait and see what's going to happen. You take action and do something about it. You run with patience. You decide how you're going to run. You decide, but you move and you do something on the situation that you're in. The Christian believer must determine how he's going to attack the problem, and that he's going to attack it with grit. Grit. That means you're going to go at it, and you're going to continue to go after it. You're going to continue to go after it. No matter what happens, you're going to still go after it. You may defeat me, but you're going to say, I was sure in a fight. The devil needs to know if you stay in your sin, you need to fight so hard to come out of it that when the devil leaves you and he think you're in it, he think you're dead, you're just taking a break because you're going to get ready to fight again. He cannot conquer you if you're living in Christ. He may beat you up, you may get bloody, but you will still stand because you're moving in the name of Jesus the Christ. You run with patience. You decide when you will turn the burst of speed on. You decide. You don't allow the devil to decide. Don't let him make you run out there and start like 90 going north. You got 5 miles to run. You run the first mile and then you quit. No, you got to pace yourself so you can make the whole race. That's why when in track you have people that run dashes and you have people that run the distance. Houston Mike Till could not run the distance. He could run the 100, the 220, and the 440. Nothing else. Couldn't run the mile. Couldn't run the marathon. But you put him in those, he would run it. Because that's the way he was made. But patience. When you run with... This is why believers, when you first get saved, the devil don't mind you running. Because he figured out after a while you're going to slow down and you're going to quit. That's why you need to pace yourself. You need to run with patience. You need to be in the race for the long haul. You need to run the marathon. Not a 50-yard dash. If Christians could run the 50-yard dash in the race, a whole lot of them would be in heaven. Because they'd be over and they'd be through. But it's a marathon. You don't know how long it is. You just run it. But you pace yourself. And I'm glad you asked. I heard you. You pace yourself in this word. I don't know how long it's going to be, but I know one thing. One thing I know. He said in his word that I will not leave you nor forsake me. So I know as long as I run this race, he's going to be there with me. Every time I need a drink, he'll have me a cup of water. Every time I need a shoulder to lean on, he'll be there for me to lean on. Every time I need a prop, he'll be there to prop me up. But this, he'll prop me up in this word. This is where we need to stay. We want to live this life and have no problems whatsoever. No difficulties, no sickness, No pain. Let it go to somebody else. I don't want it. Let somebody else have it. You're the one that need it. Because when you get through it, you can say, Lord, I made it. You can say, I never would have made it without you. And while I'm in the middle of all of this, I can still throw my hands up and praise God. See, that's the mistake we make. When we're going through, we drop our head, we start crying, we start saying, oh, poor me, I'm going through this, I'm suffering this. Christians are the worst complainers that there is in the whole wide world. Especially Christians in America. Because we have had no difficulties, nobody bothered with us, everything's okay. The least little thing come along, I get a headache. Oh, I'm so sick. You going to church today? No, I can't go today. I got a headache. You better get up from there and go. Because if you have that same headache Monday morning, you going to work. We need to run with patience this race that God has set before us. He wouldn't set a race before you if you could not complete it. But you have to go with him in order to complete it. We want to run it by ourselves. And let me say this. Might seem like sometime you're the only person that's in the race. That's all right. Keep running. Remember, it's a marathon. It's cross country running. You have to find your motivation from on the inside. Don't let your motivation come from outside. Let your motivation come from the inside. There's two kinds of motivation that I can think of right quick now. That's external and internal. The external one is that you riding a donkey and you got a carrot on a stick. You hold that donkey out, that's carrot out in front of that donkey. As long as you hold that carrot out there, he'll keep walking, trying to get it, and it's never going to get it. That's external. But when it's internal, I got it in me and I'm going to run. That's when you got a thoroughbred. A thoroughbred going to run. All you got to do is get him on the track, and he's going to run. And that's the way we need to become thoroughbreds and don't need any external motivation to make us stay in this race for Christ. We need to continue to run because in the end, there's going to be a prize. And you're going to get the prize according to the way that you run the race. My mind just went used to have field days, and first they would have five or six kids running, and every one of them would get an award. No matter what place they finish, they will get a reward. That's the way it is with God. You're going to get a reward, but you got to finish the race. Keep running. Don't quit. Run with patience. Patience, I've said it before, it's not taking in and everything. You face the trials and you attack the trials. What time is it? It's pruning time. You have to prune stuff. Some things take small instruments to prune it. Some things take small things to prune it. Some things you can prune with this, you can't prune with this. Don't y'all leave me. Don't y'all leave me. Don't y'all leave me. What instrument you use to prune what you're pruning depends on the size. Depends on the size of it. If line in your life is real big, you need this. You don't need this. Because this will not take it off. This will. And I started to bring my chainsaw, but I just didn't bring it. But some of, if line is showing up real big, real big, you need a chainsaw so you can get rid of it. And see, listen, all of these instruments are right here. It depends on what you are pruning with what you'll use. With some people, just somebody telling them about you ought not to go around lying on people is enough. But with some people, you got to tell him, you got to oil him down, you got to pray for him, then you got to oil him down again, then you got to pray for him, then you got to oil, you got to keep doing it and praying and immersing them in this word. That's what it takes to get rid of it.
Tell us. Listen.
Then I brought this one here because some of us got so much stuff in our lives. You have to cut it going and coming. Going and coming. And listen. Sometime when you cut, it'll run right over. And it'll sprout right back up. You got to come right back and cut it. And sometimes you'll take it off, but it'll sprout up again. You got to cut it again. See, this is what gets Christian folks. They think once they get saved, they don't have anything else to worry about. I stopped by to tell you that right here between your right ear and your left ear is the first place the devil is going to attack you. And he's going to attack you more than one time. When he attacks you up in your mind about drinking over the holidays and getting drunk over the holidays, he's going to attack you again. So you gotta turn the machine on and cut it and get it out. I know some of you think just because you haven't had a drink in 35 years, you know, but he'll still attempt you because it's in your mind. The first place sin attacks is the mind. So you got to keep pruning the mind where you will have it so pruned that those kind of thoughts will not come to your mind. They'll come. I don't care how holy you think you are. They will come. If it's smoking, if it's doping, it'll still come. No matter how long you've been out, if you put yourself in those environments, it will be there again. You have to prune it out. And see, what you really need to do is use the small clippers. If you use the small clippers, you don't ever let it get any size. My wife, I planted two crepe myrtle trees in front of the house several years ago. And those sprout-ups come there every year. You need to cut them out. You need to cut them out. She doesn't want it to get big down around the bottom. So what do I do? Time to come up so she'll leave me alone. I go out there and I cut them off. That's the way stuff is in your life. It'll keep sprouting up. You're not doing anything to make it sprout up. It just sprout up because that's the nature of it. No, you know, nobody tell, you don't have to watch a television show to know that Budweiser's still selling beer. All you got to do is just ride around and you'll see it. That's the temptation that's in there. But you have to get rid of it. You have to take, that's why you run this race with patience. I'm through. But let me tell you a story. I know I gave you one in the beginning. I'm going to give you one in the end too. I want you to try to see this message in this one here. This was supposed to happen in the 2002 Winter Olympics. There were five finalists in the 100 meters speed skating race. During the final lap, the American and the Chinese were out front with the Canadian, and y'all going to have to remember this now because y'all going to have to help me out. The Canadian and the Korean was third and fourth. The Australian was all the way behind. They just speed skated. Real close contact. The two out front, the American, who I said was the American and the Chinese, they were going on there in first and second, just rotating out. And all of a sudden, one of them hit the other one, and both of them went down. Who's the next two? or Korean and Canadian, they were so close to them, they couldn't stop. They got entangled in them too. The Australian was all the way behind them, about 2 or 3 seconds. He just come around them and went around them. And when he got to the line, he said, I won the goal. He did. Why? Because he avoided getting entangled with other people and other situations. Why? Because you need to do that sometime. You need to avoid getting entangled and stuff and run your own race. Run your own race. Prune in time. You need to cut some stuff out of your life. Because if you don't take it out, it will mess you up. And listen to me, it does not always have to be sin. There's some stuff that we need to take out of our lives that's not sin, but it stops us from running the race that Christ needs for us to run. With that, I'll extend an invitation. Will you stand? And if you don't know Jesus, this is your time.